The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host, and today it is an absolute honour to welcome back to the show Bishop Richard Williamson. I'm going to bring him up right now. Bishop Williamson, are you with me?
Yes.
Excellent. Wonderful to have you on, Bishop Williamson. And we had a chat just before the broadcast, folks, and we're going to start off today with the philosophy of Immanuel Kant. So, Bishop Williamson, what would you like to tell us about this, please?
Well, Immanuel Kant was a German philosopher. Firstly, what is philosophy? There are various ways you can define the word, but philosophy, I'm using the word in the sense that it's something which every single man has. He may not be an intellectual. He may have gone to no university. But he's a lowly peasant out in the countryside, but he still has a philosophy. And that philosophy may be strongly influenced by Catholicism, by Protestantism, by enjoying himself, by hedonism. But whatever it is, there's some system by which he lives, and some system of thought by which he lives. As Aristotle said, if you want to do philosophy, then you've got to think. If you want to not do philosophy, then you still have to think. And that's absolutely right. And that thinking, which accepts or rejects any one of many different kinds of philosophy, is a man's philosophy in the broad sense. His intellectual system, which he kind of picked up at the university, is philosophy, whether it's Plato or Aristotle or St. Thomas Aquinas or Berkeley or Kant or whoever. That is philosophy in the narrow sense. So every man has a philosophy in the broad sense. And the philosophy of many men living today is in the broad, their philosophy in the broad sense is La La Land. That is to say, they're living in an unreal world in which man's will counts for everything. God usually counts almost nowhere, except as a sweet old sugar daddy in the sky, dressed in cotton wool, who blesses everything that men do when they choose to do it, including the most horrendous crimes, who has no heaven with which to reward people, nor hell with which to punish them, except that he's such a sweet guy, he would never send anybody to eternal hell. And so if there's an afterlife, which is highly doubtful, then everybody succeeds, because Almighty God is such a sweetie pie, such a silly old sugar daddy, that he will forgive anybody, even the most horrendous crimes. So God is insignificant. Man is the triumphant king of the universe. Modern man is smarter than ever and getting smarter every day. And the COVID nonsense is part and parcel of his brilliance. It's absolutely brilliant stuff. It's all designed for our welfare because life is so nice and people are so sweet. There's not imaginably any such thing as original sin. every man could not be marked, as the Catholic Church says he is, in his nature, by the effect of what Adam and Eve did at the beginning of the human race. Adam and Eve is a myth. We were all branch managers at one stage. We all came down from the trees, and so on and so on and so on. It's La La Land. It's completely unreal. It's very dangerous. It's very attractive because it's so silly and so undemanding. And it's going to be, this philosophy is going to be the cause of the damnation of millions and millions of souls, because there is a real hell, and you fall into it on God's terms, not on men's terms. On men's terms, nobody would fall into hell. They're even glorifying Judas Iscariot, for instance. But on God's terms, the majority of men are foolish enough by their own choice to fall into hell. And so on and so on. Now, Kant was a philosopher in the narrow sense, a very famous philosopher in the narrow sense, because he laid the basis of La La Land. How did he do that? He did it by a perverse explanation of human knowledge. It's too technical to go into in great detail, but his central error is called subjectivism, meaning that the subject, instead of the object dominating the subject dominates the object. For instance, if I go out in the street, I see in front of me a cat. The cat tells me that it is a cat, and it imposes upon me, by its objectivity, that it is not a dog. My liberty is limited, if I am objective, to saying that the cat is a cat. But if I liberate myself from saying that things are what they are, if I pretend that they are what I make them, then that is subjectivism. There, the subject is no longer dominated by the fact that a cat is a cat. I have liberated myself from cat is a cat. I am free to say and to believe and to declare that that cat is in fact a dog. And it isn't a dog, it's a cat. But if I'm a subjectivist on Kant's very foolish, brilliant, highly intellectual, but very foolish principles, then I've liberated myself from reality. And that's the state of a mass of people today. I get into a discussion with somebody. I say, well, look, 2 and 2 are 4. Oh, no, says he, that's your opinion. It isn't an opinion. It's a reality. No. Reality is what, your reality is yours, my reality is mine, his reality is his. We're all free to make up our own reality and to hold our own opinion about what is reality. I say nonsense. That's absolutely not common sense. Every single one of us, unless there's 50 of us here and now in this room, every single one of us has agreed that the door is the door, and none of the 50 are going to try to walk out through the wall. The door is reality. The wall is reality. It's the same reality of all of us, which is why all 50 of us are going to walk out through the same door, because there's no other door in the room. Oh, no, that's just your opinion. I could try to walk out through this wall if I wanted to. I won't, because I choose to accept that the door is a door, and therefore I accept to walk out through what seems to be the door. But it's only a seeming, it's not a reality, which is an absolute certainty for all of us. This is the nonsensical basis upon which modern men live. And of course they get away with it because you almost never see them putting their principles into action and trying to walk out through the wall. You don't see that. You won't see it because people live by common sense. Men, all men live by what they still respect of their common sense. But if you sit down and try talking about God or try talking about COVID, they won't any longer live by their common sense. They live by what they want to live by, which is complete independence from God. They don't care two pins for God, except the nice remains of a silly old sugar daddy wrapped in cotton wool up in the sky somewhere. But this the first Russian astronaut, what was it, Yuri Gagarin, I think his name was, back in, I forget what year, I think it was the 1950s, Yuri Gagarin, when he landed back from having circulated the Earth once in the Russian satellite, the Sputnik, when he landed back, he said, "I've gone all around the Earth and I haven't seen God anywhere." Blasphemous. Blasphemy. Stupid blasphemy. But that's communism. Communism is unreality. Man remaking reality, remaking human nature, remaking, refashioning, reforging common sense, saying that what is common sense isn't and that what isn't is. Another classic example of denying common sense. It's the difference between men and women is common sense. It's parallel to the difference between a cock and a hen, between a ram and a ewe, between a bull and a cow, and so on and so on. You can go through all of the animal species, and the difference between male and female is there, and it's parallel in all cases, which is why people coming off the country will easily accept that men and women should not be treated the same, that they should not, for instance, have the same education, that co-education is a disaster. People from the country will accept that. But people from the modern cities will not accept it because that's an imposition upon their liberty, their imposition of their equality. And therefore, as people get more and more citified and less countrified, fewer and fewer people from the country, more and more people herding together in the big city because you're independent from God and because you've got an easy life. Because of that, the nonsense that men and women are exactly equal in all respects and just the same, there's only a slight difference in the plumbing, city dwellers will easily accept that, especially when their vile newspapers, when their vile media, television and newspapers, lie to them all the time and impose a coherent and wicked pack of lies as being reality. So Kant is just simply the technical philosopher, philosopher in the narrow sense, a brilliant brain, but very perverse, who said some good things. The sky above us, the moral law within us, but he also said reality is subjective. And that's just insane. It's also wicked. Because he can't really have believed it. Because if he really believed it, he would put it in practice. If he put it into practice, he'd have always been trying to walk through the wall. But he never did. I'll bet you he never did. In fact, his life was so regular that in Königsberg, which is where he lived in the north of Germany, in Prussia, now I think under Soviet control, under Russian control, part of Russia, in Königsberg, the locals could set their timepieces, clocks, watches, by the moment that he passed on the pavement outside. That's how regular he was in observing his daily routine. But he will have pretended that that routine was nothing imposed upon him by object reality outside. It was all basically his own subjective perceptions. Perception is reality. This is another formula for that.
Yes, and it's interesting because I understand that the biggest resurgence of Christianity that we've seen in recent years has been in countries that were under communism. And so it's almost yes. Like they experienced that, and they experienced a world for them without God. And as soon as that was overthrown, they embraced God as quick as they could. Would I be correct there, Bishop Williamson?
That's basically accurate. Let's just say that in suffering is learning. That's a saying, a quotation of a Greek playwright, Aeschylus, going back 500, 400 years before Christ. And when men suffer, that's when they really learn. It takes suffering to beat common sense into us. In the 1940s, England was not nearly as stupid as it became in the 1960s. That was because it had just come out of the suffering of the Second World War. Likewise, Germany. The communists, wicked, godless people as such, imposed their rule, their inhuman, cruel and inhuman rule on Russia for 70 years. From 1917 to 1989, maybe that's 72 years. And by the end of it, the Russians had had enough. And when Almighty God gave them Putin as leader, and Putin is a gift of God, like Trump was a gift of God. The Americans didn't have the sense to keep hold of Trump, but they had to be. They wickedly got rid of him by lies. That's again La La Land. Trump was not essentially a La La Lander, not essentially. Essentially, he was a decent man who respected reality and wanted to get rid of, for instance, child trafficking. Moved against child trafficking, but the moment he was gone, I think a lot of the child trafficking came back. Although it was no longer pursued and persecuted like it was, like Trump tried to do. Trump's hands were very much tied, but he did try to do what was decent. And therefore, indeed, he dared to have part of a Christmas carol played. He made Christmas speeches at least twice. He honored our Lord Jesus Christ at Christmas, which in America you're not strictly allowed to do, because in America there's freedom, quote unquote, freedom of religion, which really means freedom from religion. Not for the decent people. For the decent people, they take it seriously. There are decent Muslims. There will be decent Muslims in the United States who are decent Americans. But the result of communism is very indecent people. And the result of American liberalism, if it's not corrected by Christianity, it degenerates into decadence, and that's what Biden and the Democrats embody, the decadence of American liberalism. Because liberalism is ambiguous. Liberalism is the glorification of liberty. Okay, liberty for what? Liberty for good or liberty for bad? Oh, liberty for either, because liberty is so valuable in itself. No. Freedom is not the measure of good. Good is the measure of freedom. And the truth will set you free. So goodness or truth is what will set you free. In other words, freedom rests upon goodness. Good, as we've seen in the false election in the United States. It was absolutely an unfree, a cheated, a falsified election, because the men were not good. The men ultimately in control are very bad, and therefore they created a system, a brilliant system, to steal the election electronically. Brilliantly done, but not honest, absolutely not honest. And there's a classic example of the liberty of Americans and the liberty of their elections being taken away by badness. In other words, badness or goodness control liberty or lack of liberty. It's not liberty that controls goodness, it's goodness that controls liberty. That's why our Lord says the liberty will make you free. He does not say freedom will make you good. He says the liberty or freedom will make you, liberty will make you, what's our Lord say?
And the truth shall make you free?
Yes, the truth shall make you free, that's it. So it's not liberty that's going to create truth. It's truth that's going to create liberty. Again, that's common sense if you think about it. Liberty is not basic. Liberty is a fruit. It's not a root. Well, it's a root of many other things, but ultimately it's a fruit of goodness and truth. It's when men are good and true that they will be free. So if you want freedom, you don't want to try to create freedom. You want to create truth and goodness in men, and then freedom will automatically follow. When all men have got a sixth commandment, which they're and a belief in hell, then the women can walk in safety up and down the streets in the evening and in the morning, or even at night, because the men are self-controlled, because they don't want to fall into hell. But if the men believe a lie, that there's no such thing as hell, there's no such thing as God, there's no such thing as the Ten Commandments, then you've got to have a huge police force to keep men under control. Because they all have, as the church teaches, as our Lord teaches, original sin in them, and therefore they all incline to sin. And they will incline to rape the women, etc., etc., etc. Therefore, the freedom of the women to walk around the city in the evening is dependent upon their beliefs and their faith, on the truth that they believe in, and not the other way around.
Yes, and I think that it's interesting the point you made there, because a lot of people, many of whom sadly are no longer with us, but they can remember a time where you could leave your house unlocked and things like that, and you felt perfectly safe.
That's the same point. And if you've got, they used to say in Catholic countries, if you open seminaries, you can close prisons. If you close seminaries, you'll have to open prisons. Because if men won't discipline themselves, then the state has got to discipline them. And at this moment in Paris in particular, I know Paris in this respect a little better than I know London, you hear the police sirens wailing all night, almost all night, because the city is on the brink of chaos, because the Parisians, the French, have absolutely rejected their strong religion, which was the Catholic religion. But Vatican, in the 1960s, the church fell gravely sick because the modern philosophy was working its way inside the Catholic Church. The Catholics no longer understood who Immanuel Kant was or what he had done, and what was the effect of what he did. And therefore, many Catholics were basically subjectivists instead of objectivists. And therefore, the Catholics began to believe that they could do as they liked, and that the church, they could rearrange the church on their own, on men's terms, instead of on God's terms. But the church comes from God, it's for God, it's forged, created by God, and it's on God's terms, and hell and heaven are on God's terms. A man is absolutely free not to go to heaven if he doesn't want to, and the mass of human beings don't want to go to God's heaven, because they will be under God. In hell, they will still be under God, but not in a way that he wants, in a way that they want to be under God, defying him, spitting at him, crucifying him. That's how they want to be under God. So they don't want to be under God as God wants, and therefore they're going to be in his, they'll finish in his hell, on his terms. So they'll still be under God, but they won't be under God as God wants. They'll be under God as they want. So they'll still be spitting at God and cursing and defying for eternity in hell. That's where they are now, and that's what they're now doing. To the point that the church teaches our Lord could, God is God, our Lord could visit hell if he wanted, and he could offer salvation to souls in hell, and they would all spit in his face. That's the true situation.
It's interesting because last year, when I heard Archbishop Vigano come out and write that letter to President Trump and speak out against the lockdowns, etc., I was immediately reminded of the stand you took on controversial issues some years earlier, and you continue to take. What were your thoughts about Archbishop Vigano's actions, Bishop Williamson?
I think he's a very good man. A very good man indeed. I've read a book on him by Robert Moynihan, and he came from a very what was still possible before Vatican II. I mean, he's a man now, I think almost my age. I'm now 81. He's up there. He's an old man, strictly speaking. But he's a true pre-Vatican II, pre-revolution in the church, objectivist, a teller of the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, I think he's a very good man. I don't think he's yet completely understood the problem of Vatican II. But I think he's well on his way to understanding it, because he's humble. He had the humility to recognize that he was fooled. And he says, I was fooled in the 1960s by Vatican II. I could not believe and did not believe that my fellow churchmen could possibly revolutionize the church. But that's what they did. Finally, I recognized it, and then I changed my tune, and I've gone back to talking and thinking just like I did before Vatican II. He's had that humility, not only to change, to go back in his thinking, but to tell everybody that he's gone back. Because as a true shepherd, he recognizes he's got to tell people Vatican II was a disaster. It's the modern world against the church, and the modern world, through Kant, succeeded in infiltrating the church, and it's now almost destroying the church. The church is like the ice of an iceman, which the iceman used to keep in the cave. But then some slick oil salesman went to see him in his cave, and they said, what are you doing in this dark and dank and damp cave? Why don't you get out into the middle of the marketplace? There's nobody here except a few customers that make their way to this damn cave. But it's not a place for customers to be. You should be out in the middle of the market in broad sunlight where everybody is mixing and talking and circulating, and there they will see you and your wares and so on. And the dumb iceman says, oh, yes. Oh, I hadn't thought of that. Oh, yes, that's a good idea. So he takes all his ice out of the cave into the middle of the marketplace. And of course, half an hour in the sunshine and there's no ice left. The modern churchmen have taken the classic true Catholic religion out of its pre-Vatican II fortifications, down into the plain, into the marketplace, where it's completely vulnerable to attack or dissolution of the ice, melting of the ice. The example of the ice does one thing, and the example of the leaving the fortifications does another. What the example of the ice is that the modern world and the Catholic Church are as absolutely and objectively irreconcilable as sunshine and ice. You can't put ice into sunshine without it melting. You can't put the Catholic Church onto a modern basis, a basis of modern principles, without the Catholic Church melting. Because those modern principles are automatically godless. Then the example of the army in the plain is that where the Catholic Church was a well-fortified position. The wall had no gaps, the position was logical. All of the dogmas of the Catholic Church, even the most difficult doctrines, they all actually hang together in such a way that if you deny one, they all fall to pieces. That sounds strange, but it's true. So you don't deny one Catholic dogma because the whole of the system will fall to pieces. Not that the dogmas are untrue, but they hang together because they're all true. Okay, you have to be a Catholic to accept that, or you have to be a reasonable man that studies it and sees it is true, even if you don't become a Catholic after seeing it, but it's true. So the Catholic Church was like a fortification, a strong fortification, inside which the sheep were carefully guarded. And there was enough grass inside the fortress for them to eat. There was easily enough grass, lawns, fields, whatever, inside the walls for the Catholic sheep to be able to eat. So they had everything they needed inside the fortress. But then somebody said on top of the hill, but then somebody said, look, you're not going to convert anybody in if you stay inside your fortress. You've got to get out of the fortress. You've got to get down into the plain and meet everybody where you can convert them and gain souls for Christ. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So you've got to study Kant. And then when you've studied Kant, you will say, oh, yes. Like St. Thomas Aquinas is good for the Middle Ages, Immanuel Kant is the man for modern philosophy. Oh, yes. Says the dumb Catholic, and he incorporates Kant into his thinking, and before he knows where he is, he's a subjectivist, he's dumb, he's stupid, and he's liberal, just like everybody else in the modern world. He's left the fortress, he's gone down into the plain, where he's no longer protected, and he's lost the faith, and he's become a dumb modern, just like all of the other moderns. He's joined in with La La Land. So you stay inside the fortress. You, admittedly, you need to contact people outside the fortress, that's for sure, but you take care how you do it. You might do it, for instance, you might do it just for an hour every day. You might do it only on the north, where the people are more likely to listen to what you say than they are on the south. You'll be careful how you get out of the fortress, but you're not going to abandon the fortress. Every night you'll go back where you're protected, where you can sleep at night. And souls are protected inside the true church so that they can go to heaven, so that they can stay on track. But they'll be helped to obey the Ten Commandments. They will understand why they need to obey the Ten Commandments, why they need to obey God, if they want to be happy in the one and only true heaven, which is the heaven of the God who created the Catholic Church. The Catholic God, you could say. But this Pope said there is no Catholic God. There's no such thing as a Catholic God. That's what this Pope Francis once said. In a sense, of course, he's playing with words. In a sense, it's true that God is not confined to Catholics. Outside of this, I have many sheep outside of this sheepfold. My sheep recognize me, and I know my sheep, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, and many of them are outside of this sheepfold. That's what our Lord said. So the Catholic Church is not tied up to exclusively Catholics. It's not only for Catholics. It's for the whole of mankind, to help all men who want to go to heaven, to the one true heaven that really does exist. The existence of the true heaven is not pie in the sky. The existence of the true afterlife is not pie in the sky. But the trouble about the afterlife is that it's either true in hell or it's true in heaven. It's not always true in heaven. And as said, because of the world, the flesh, and the devil, the three great enemies of salvation, most men finish in hell. It's sad, but look around you. How are most men living today? Today is certainly not the time when you can say that most souls are saved. No way.
It's interesting, Bishop Williamson, because what would your advice be to people as to how to withstand this onslaught with regard to the so-called COVID, the figures that we know they've grossly inflated, and then you had the lockdowns to make people uncomfortable for what appears to be a desire to force a vaccine into people that we know, even from their own figures, is causing an immense amount of harm and deaths to so many people around the world. Is there anything from a Catholic perspective that you could advise people how to, you know, withstand this onslaught and get away from having this vaccine?
Firstly, throw out the television set. The bad guys, and they are bad guys do exist. Evil exists. And some men are very evil by their own choice. They had free, God gave them freedom, free will, and by their own misusing of their free will, they make themselves eventually very wicked before they at last fall into the depths of hell by God's just judgment. Hebrews, it is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. People, of course, deny that, they defy God, and they take the consequences. But and the consequences are terrible. Hell is just unimaginable, absolutely unimaginable, because God is not mocked, as again St. Paul says, or Scripture. It's in the Epistle to the Galatians, the last chapter of the Epistle to the Galatians. So, firstly, throw out the TV set. There was a cartoon of two people approaching a couple of Amish in the United States, and they said to them, "You seem to have no COVID here. How do you do it?" And the answer came from one of the Amish, "We have no television here." Television is a terrible bad influence. It has been called the Jewish tabernacle because it so influences people against anything Christian. It's in the hands of non-Christians. It's in the hands of enemies of Christ. Therefore, and the television, the media, have an incredible power to influence people. They've learned the tricks of the trade ever since the media came into existence. Newspapers came into existence in the 18th century, television in the middle of the 20th century, and both of them lie, especially about COVID. Because COVID is a pack of lies. There is something there. It does seem that they've not yet succeeded in isolating the virus, which is very unusual. It's suspicious. But let's assume that there is objectively something there, which I think there is. Yeah, but I think it's no more than a flu virus, a virus not any more harmful than an average flu virus. That's what seems to be the most likely objective truth at this point in time. But it's the vile media and the politicians who are puppets of the media, because the media can crush a politician or they can create him. And they do it all the time with no respect for reality. They can kill a good man. They can ruin a good man, let's say, not necessarily kill, although they'll kill in extreme situation. They don't mind killing either, but mostly they can ruin him. It's enough to discredit him in all of their media. And the media all sing the same song, practically. And it's the fault of the people that allowed these media to fall into the hands of these people. And why did they do it? Because of liberty. We are free. We are smarter than the Catholic medieval peasants. We're much smarter than they ever were. They stopped the bad guys controlling public opinion. But the liberals said, "Oh, we're liberal. We're superior. We allow anybody to control the public mind." Huh. The result? The public mind gets swept off by evil because of original sin. Because lies are made to look a lot more attractive than the truth. The truth is demanding, Ten Commandments, for instance, whereas the lies are very attractive, and the lies will allow everything. They allow adultery, they will allow stealing an election, they will allow etc., etc., etc. You name it. And they not only allow, they command disrespect and mockery of God. And God is not mocked. People think he is. Today's world is being run on the mockery of God. And people think they're going to get away with it because they think they're convinced. They've allowed the vile media and rotten schools and rotten universities to persuade them that God doesn't exist, which is a huge lie. An unforgivable lie, because the evidence of God's existence is everywhere, in nature. Not necessarily in the cities, although even there you can discern God if you know how and where to see him. But in nature, it's the beauty of nature, the beauty of the animals and the plants and the seasons and the organization of the seasons and the organization of the tiniest little insect. Men pride themselves on miniaturization of their computers, but they get nowhere near God, who not only miniaturizes supremely insects, but leaves them able to live. able to live and to reproduce. Men never made a computer that could reproduce. Men think they're smarter than God. Modern man thinks he's smarter than God. Modern man is stupid by his pride. He's made stupid by his pride, because pride makes people stupid. And pride is the supreme sin. It's the sin by which men dare to defy God, want to defy God and defy him. That's pride. I'm not going to serve, is the slogan of pride. I will not serve. It's the devil. It's the devil's original sin of standing up to God and defying him and taking a third of the angels with him, where they've been in hell, a terrible hell, ever since.
And
St. Augustine said that just as there's a 1 to 2 equals 5 to 10 kind of equation, 1 to 2, the relationship between words describing fire and actual fire. And equals the same relationship. Obviously, the actual fire is much worse than just words describing it. Similarly, fire in this life is much less than fire in the next life. Fire in the next life is much worse than fire in this life, just as a real fire in this life is worse than a description of words describing it. Now, I pick up a hot saucepan, I can't hold it, I have to drop it on the floor, even if everything breaks, because it's just burning my fingers. I can't bear the burning on my fingers. Well, the burning in hell is all over me, outside, it's all through me, inside, and it's much fiercer than fire in this life, much fiercer. So, God is not mocked. A man has got freedom right up until the moment he dies. But at that moment, it's God who calls the shots. And a man can call the shots. He's got his free will right up until the moment he dies, as long as he's still able to think and or talk. So he's free. God leaves him freedom right up to the last moment, to choose good instead of choosing bad. But if he chooses bad, and as long as he's not dead, he's still in command by his own free will. But the moment he dies, he's no longer in command. It's God who's in command. And God will reward him or punish him according to how he's lived. That's the reality. That's the objective reality. That's what the church always used to say. And that's what's still true, even if the church no longer says it. Even if Pope Bergoglio says things like, who am I to judge? There is no Catholic God. He says these outrageous things. As I say, there is no Catholic God is, in a certain sense, true. There's no God who is only for Catholics. That's true. But there's no God other than one who's exclusively concerned with Catholics. That's false. And what he says is capable of saying both things. It's ambiguous. It's double-faced, double-meaning. So he can be quite clever with his words, but what he's driving at is terrible. And it's the consequence of Kant having got into the churchmen's minds, and he got into Archbishop Wegener's mind for many years, until the Archbishop was given the grace by God to see, and then he publicly confessed. Brave man, good man. Good man, undoubtedly. Rely on Archbishop. I'd say, what do you say? You say to me, what should people do? They should listen to Wegener. Listen to Archbishop Wegener. And throw out the television set. It poisons minds. And the mind is the highest faculty. The BBC is terrible. Most people recognize it. But is anything done about it? Is Parliament still capable of doing anything about it? Or are the unseen masters of Parliament also the unseen masters of the BBC? I think that's much more likely. And that's why the BBC will probably not be reformed. People don't care enough about truth. And therefore they allow themselves to, they allow the BBC to fill them with lies. And they think nonsense about COVID and they act according with the nonsense of COVID. So the first thing to do is to throw out the television set. The second thing to do, the next thing to do, is to start praying. That's what people have got to do. The decisive step towards not only sanity in this life, but salvation in the next life, which is going to last much longer. Salvation in the next life will last for eternity. Brutal, deadly, hurtful cancer will only last until the age of 80 or 90 or maybe 100 at the most. That's peanuts compared with suffering in eternity. Peanuts. But people don't think of that. And they've listened to their stupid schoolmasters, their perverse university professors. The universities, don't go to university. Don't send your boys or even still less your girls to a modern university. You will pay a fortune and they will have their common sense turned into mincemeat by these perverse professors. People are too stupid. If people realized, nobody would go to university. And then the universities would have to change their tune. But at the moment, they're still getting people to get into tremendous debt, terrible debt, in order to learn nonsense. Who is the king of the philosophy departments of modern universities? Immanuel Kant. Just like Thomas Aquinas was the king of the Catholic universities of yesteryear, so Immanuel Kant is the undisputed master of the universities, of the modern universities. Don't send your children to universities. Be very careful what your children are learning in the schools. The schools are falling into the hands of these terrible villains. The education system is in the hands of the government. The government is in the hands of the puppets, the bad guy puppets. I'm sorry, the government is puppets in the hands of the bad guys. The bad guys are doing what they want, are virtually free to do as they like. So weak are the forces of good. So little sense and truth is still left in heads. People are going mad every day. People are going mad. They behave as though men are women. They behave as though women are men. They behave as though women should be men, which is delinquent, which is again to mock God. They behave as men, as though men should be women, which is delinquent. And again, it's to mock God. It's also to dissolve the army. Women are not made for fighting. They're made for nourishing and giving life, rearing children, having children and rearing children, and putting children into existence so that they can go to heaven and enjoy God for eternity. That's what women are for. And women are to help men in that. Men can't have babies. They absolutely need women in order to have babies, in order to populate heaven. What God had in mind was to populate heaven. Oh, population? No, that will mean I can't use artificial means of birth control. Artificial means of birth control, there's nothing wrong with them, says modern man. In fact, they're absolutely reasonable. We have to have artificial means of birth control, contraceptives. We must use contraceptive. Otherwise, modern life is impossible. No, it's not. No, it's not. Where there's a will, there's a way. Go out, start by going out into the country. Admittedly, the country is being more and more citified. But that's another thing. In answer to COVID, go back, if you can, go back into the country where you're more likely to think sensibly than in the big city. Because in the big city, everything is made by man. Tarmac, lampposts, concrete, steel, glass. In the country, everything is made by God. Grass, hedges, trees, horses, cows. In the country, you've got the environment of God. In the city, the modern city, you've got an environment of man, built on sin.
Thank you, Bishop Williamson. And before we go, do you have any thoughts, anything you'd like to speculate on? You know, what's actually in this vaccine, why they're so keen to get it into us? We know that Bill Gates registered a patent for a sort of cryptocurrency that is transmitted by body data that had the number 060606 in it. Yeah. Many people have speculated that the vaccine could be part of the Mark of the Beast. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think Gates is an instrument of the devil. He has free will and he can convert until the day until the moment he dies. But until then, for the time being, he's a high up instrument of the devil. He may not be one of the worst. The worst are not in public view. He's in public view. He is terrible. And therefore, 060606 is typical. George Soros is another instrument of the devil. You know, there are some wicked men, but there are many more wicked men behind the scenes, and they are the puppeteers who control our stupid, miserable politicians and our doctors, alas. The doctors have discredited themselves with the way that they've given credit to this quote-unquote vaccine. It isn't a vaccine. It's a gene therapy, a therapy of genes. It changes genes. It changes the genome of the human being. It's completely sinister. Completely sinister. It's got nothing to do with health of human beings. It's got everything to do with control and turning human beings into machines or blending human beings with machines so that they can be much more easily controlled. Introducing mechanical elements into a human being, which is all a lot of speculation at the moment. It's not established science, but it is speculation. They're trying to make human beings mechanical in such a way and to such a degree that they will be easily controlled. I think that's what the vaccine is really about. And or depopulation. Also depopulation. I think some doctors think, and they've got reason to think, that in a few months' time are going to start, or latest in the autumn are going to start, another COVID-21, which will actually kill people. Already with the quote-unquote vaccines are killing a lot of people. So in the inside the vaccine is dangerous elements playing around with the human being's genes, which is why we get all of these positive side effects or negative side effects, these hurtful, seriously hurtful, up to death, including up to and including death, these seriously hurtful side effects, because man is playing, what was the sorcerer's apprentice. This quote-unquote vaccine was never properly tested or properly approved. It was rushed through because the media fabricated a panic, and to this day, people are still in this panic. I heard a terrible story just this morning. A friend who was in the terminal of Eurostar in Paris, and there was a man there who was not wearing a mask. And the crowd began shouting at him. The crowd wasn't sympathetic with him when he was not wearing a mask. It was absolutely against him because they've swallowed this lie from their television sets and from their newspapers and from their politicians and from their doctors and from some of their doctors that the unmasked people are going to be responsible. The unmasked people, the people who refuse to wear masks, who've got some common sense, are going to be made responsible for the next terrible round of COVID. Just wait and see. And this was in Paris just yesterday, Sunday. So the public opinion, the public is still panicked. The public is still swallowing the muck from the media, the lies from the media. And the lies aren't from yesterday. the lies, 9/11 was a great lie. There's no way that 19 Arabs could pull off a stunt like that. It took at least 200 people, 200 experts on the ground, say those who know what they're talking about in that realm. It was a great lie. It was fabricated to move public opinion, which it superbly did in the United States and in the whole wide world. Everybody was shaken and panicked by 9/11. A great lie. The murder of Jack Kennedy by Lee Harvey Oswald. Lie. The Oklahoma bombing of 1995. Lie. Pearl Harbor. Lie. And so on and so on and so on. And I won't mention the half of 12 million lie, except like that, because I'm not allowed to, because it's the supreme lie for bending people's minds to something false. It's a huge fabrication, and it's very successful. The villains, these people know how to lie in a way to make the people believe them. And if the people have no God, they will believe the lies. If the people have a serious God, if they seriously understand and obey and love and want to live on God's terms in order to go to God's heaven, if you've got people like that, they will be much more difficult to persuade. And that's why the villains attack the church, because it's the greatest obstacle in the path of their controlling the whole wide world, controlling the universe for the devil.
And Bishop Williamson, can you now, I'd like to hand over to you, take as long as you would like, for any closing statement you would like to make before we close the show today, please.
Okay. Almighty God exists. Three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. His Son took flesh, became a human being, took a human nature as well as divine nature, in order to die on the cross, in order to save man from original sin and the consequence of his own sins. And that Son founded a church. Therefore, you have God, Christ, Church. That is the line of salvation for men in this life and in the next life, and there's no other. Only Jesus Christ can we'll get to one true heaven with the one true God. His mother is our great advocate, Our Lady, Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And what the one thing that still works today is prayer. That's what Padre Pio said, and he died in 1968. Therefore, the one need for souls of goodwill is to pray. If they've never prayed, it's pretty easy. If you want to pray, the desire to pray is for God, almost as good as the prayer itself. And especially if you're not Catholic and you've never been taught that there's a God, like many children today, you've never been taught even that there is a God, Almighty God has a lot of sympathy, obviously, for the poor people that have been starved of it. Therefore, he makes it's very easy to reach out to God, and one reaches out to God in prayer. And in particular, prayer through the Mother of God is especially effective to reach our Lord. And if you reach our Lord, you're reaching God. Therefore, people need to pray. And they need to pray the best prayer to Our Lady, which is the Holy Rosary. Okay, I'm not Catholic. I'm a Hindu. I'm a Muslim. I'm a Protestant. Doesn't matter. Find out about Our Lady's Rosary. Begin praying the Rosary as best you can. Almighty God will certainly help you in your brave efforts. And you will do good to yourself. You will do good to your family. And you will do the one real way of doing good to your country and to the world. Medicine is shot. The arts are shot. The law is shot. Education is shot, politics are shot, the whole thing is shot, said Padre Pio, except prayer, the one thing that still works, and the one thing that infallibly hits the bad guys and slows them down and stops them from doing all the evil they want to do is prayer. Therefore, dear friends, Catholics or non-Catholics, dear friends, find out about the rosary. Go to any Catholic priest who should be able to tell you, or go to any Catholic friend who can tell you. Get yourself at the cheapest of rosaries, the most miserable little plastic affair, doesn't matter, but pray the rosary, and you may save your own soul, and you will certainly do good, whereas the education, law, medicine, all of that is incapable of any longer doing any good. It's shot. The enemy has infiltrated it. It's working for the enemy, as we've seen with even with the medical doctors. A mass of them are working because they get paid more if they say that this death was COVID. Money. Money works against the truth. So throw out the television set and begin praying. My dear friends, I send you my blessing in Latin over the radio. And it's Almighty God who's blessing you through the poor, humble Catholic priest who's, as our Lord says, a useless servant. But it's through him, it's through the priest's instrument that God works. So here's the blessing. Benedictio vos. In nomine Patris. I've forgotten the blessing. Benedicat vos omnipotens Deus, Pater et Filius et Spiritus Sanctus. Amen. Bye-bye. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Bishop Williamson. God bless you too. And folks, Bishop Williamson has a wonderful resource on the internet, stmarcelinitiative.com. That's stmarcelinitiative.com. You will find a link to that in the post for this show at andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com. I want to thank Bishop Williamson so much for joining us today for a show entitled God Is Not Mocked. I want to thank all of you for listening. I will, of course, be back with you all tomorrow. And until then, folks, have a wonderful day. And bye for now.